Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Chapter number 2, number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray you would open this truth to our hearts. We know how pray for that soul that's here, that needs peace. May it be clear now where peace comes from. May it be clear that before they leave this place, that it abides within them. We trust you with this, for we know how important, how urgent that it is. That we ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to, as we prepare our mind for this, I want to share with you what it says in John chapter 14, verse number 27. I've quoted it already, but I would like to read it again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The answer to the fear that reigns around us is peace. But the only real peace that will satisfy the soul, that will bring, if you would have it, courage to those who are in fear, it must be in Christ. To so many, that seems like such an easy way to define the answer or provide a solution. But the solution has always been there. Regardless of the generation or the civilization that's seeking the answer has always been the same.
Yes.
Christ alone is peace. But the apostle said to those in this particular letter to the Ephesian church, what he was saying to them is the world would have us divided. And I feel it necessary today to address the subject of division and what part that Christ plays in that division, because there is a division caused by Christ. Right? And I don't want you to be confused or think that the Word of God contradicts itself. It does not. And I think that will be clear by the end of this. But I want to be clear that when Jesus came, He made it clear that His gospel would divide people. We know how it brings them together.
Yeah.
But there is a division.
Yeah,
I had a fellow just yesterday told me that there was somebody in his family that would no longer speak to them because they stood on the gospel. They made a declaration that what God said about homosexuality was truth. And that person and their family,
amen,
it offended them. And basically they just disowned them and haven't spoke to them in many, many years because of it. Jesus said to them, He said that My word will cause a division between a father and his son, mother and their daughter.
Yes.
And mark my words, if you've got a believer and an unbeliever, there's a division there. There's a division. And you can't fix that except one comes to the other side. And if you've ever been exposed to the knowledge of truth, you will never be absent of that knowledge.
Yeah.
I can no longer live in sin anymore because I am dead to it. How so? The flesh? No. I was made dead to the sin by the Spirit of God that has rescued me from it. If God didn't rescue me from that sin, I'd perish.
Amen. Yes.
Would not make it to heaven. But within me is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not of anything that I have done, but solely through the work of Christ at Calvary for me. And that substitutionary death that was imputed to me the very instant that I believed in Jesus Christ had forever made a division between me and this world. I cannot tolerate the things of the world. I cannot, nor can you if you're a believer in Christ. Because the Word of God hath divided it and hath made me something different. Now, I realize that that is countercultural. Let me go on record and say, so be it. We do not change the gospel just because our culture has changed. We cannot change, or should we change, or attempt to change the Word of God just because now we live in a society where they call good evil and evil good.
Amen.
We cannot change the gospel of Christ, though we live in a society where they begin as kindergartners teaching them that normal is a man with a man or a woman with a woman.
Why is that, my word?
I don't care who you are, it's still normal. I didn't write the book, but I'm going to tell you what it says. That is counterculture.
Okay.
There is a point, if God doesn't do something in this country, that will cost us to make such a stand.
Yes.
Let me go on record again. So be it. Amen. So be it.
Yeah.
As the children of God, we will stand for Christ, whatever the cost.
Okay.
Has He not warned us? Has He not told us the importance of calculating the cost to understand what it will take to finish? It's all here. As we approach the days that are so troublesome and divisive, I've never seen a day in the history of my life, right? You may have. Some of you are older than me and may have experienced some of those days just before segregation and during that hostile time in our country. I was not really around at that point. I didn't see it. But let me go on record and say that that was a different fight. There was some truth behind that one. There was a lot of people in this country wrong.
Amen.
The fight we face today is of a different nature. Now, what they press for is for the evil to be normal, accepted, tolerated. And if it is not, then you're wrong.
Right.
This is a completely different platform. Because what is being aimed for now is the destruction of our society, albeit their foolish wickedness. And it will create division. And in fact, the heart of that division is right versus wrong. And if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, born again, you will be part of that body.
Yeah. Amen.
You will have to stand and stand for Christ.
Right,
child of God cannot stand for another king. You will not stand for the prince of this world.
No.
And I realize that some of you are hesitant now, thinking, can I stand? Yeah, you can stand.
Yes.
The grace you need to stand in that day, it will be there.
Yes.
The courage that you need to stand in the face of adversity, no matter the cost, when the day comes, the grace for you to sustain or to endure will be there. Anybody doubt that? I do not doubt that. I do not doubt that Christ will be there in every moment that I need Him the most. He will be there. Now, let's talk about peace. There's division in this world. And as long as there is right and wrong, there will always be division. But the point I believe that Paul was trying to make to the church in Ephesus was that there can be peace. And certainly, peace is something to be sought for. In their foolish attempt, there's so many in the world today that says simply what we need is no religion, no governments, no nations, right? Just make everything common and you'll have peace. Is that true?
No.
No. How do I know it's true? Because I know where peace comes from.
Amen.
And that is not the point. That is not the recipe for peace. It never will be. Certainly, what they want is no religion. Right? Because if there's no religion, there's no contention. Right? There's nobody to say, hey, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Not based on what I think or my opinion, but based on what God the Creator said, that is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And so if we had no religion, maybe we would have less division. But I can tell you, without this, there's no peace, period. Right? Just because you're unified with something doesn't mean you're right, nor does it mean you're at peace.
Yeah. Amen.
So where does our peace come from? Verse number 14, I believe, is it says, for He is our peace. You might want to keep your Bible open. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 14. I want you to get this. There are three different times that the apostle writes to the church and he speaks to them concerning the vision. And in verse number 14, now, what he had just, in context, what I read to you in verse number 11, up to that point, he was explaining to them that he understood there was a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Right? He went into great detail to say, look, I understand that there's the circumcision and there's the uncircumcision. There's the Jew, there's the Gentile. And he said, I understand that the Jew, you know, has all of these laws from God and the Mosaic laws and the prophets and they have all of these rituals and customs and things that are tied to their religion. And then we have on the other side of the fence these Gentiles that have not even a clue about God until Christ was preached. Right? They had zero understanding of who Jehovah was until somebody comes into their town blazing this brand new gospel of Jesus Christ, Him crucified and rising again and bringing life to the believer. And then we have all of these people being saved out of this Gentile nations and these ungodly, wicked people coming to Christ. And suddenly, now there was Jew and Gentile in the same church. And the Apostle Paul was addressing how that happened. The most wonderful thing that ever happened was Christ. Whether you be Jew or Gentile. You see, because there was nobody that could be any farther off from God than the Gentile. What did he say about him? He said, you were alienated. You were aliens from God. You were dogs. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You had no understanding nor concept of God. You weren't Jew by nature. So therefore you weren't the chosen of God. You couldn't be any farther from God than anybody in this world. And then we had on the opposite side of the fence those that were Jews that knew the law of God, that should have been, if anybody in this world understood, when Christ was born and when Christ died and when Christ rose again, that the Messiah had come. Here were these that knew the law of God, and yet they were just as far away.
Yeah.
Though they personally were near the truth.
Yeah.
They were near the truth, but knew it not. They were near the truth, but couldn't see it. And what Paul said was, is we have two differing people here. We have the Jew and the Gentile. And he said, yes, there was a time. There was a time when there would be no reconciliation possible between the two. Except, he said, Christ is our peace.
Amen.
I got to say to you today that even now, I said it this morning as we began. The only way to ever get a Jew and an Arab to agree or to be peaceful with one another is for both of them to get born again.
Amen.
Because no matter what the Jew thinks about him or what the Arab thinks about the Jew, they will never align until they have Christ as the medium, and Christ as the standard, Christ as the center of their world. And oh, how that changes everything. You see, bond or free, male or female, Jew or Greek, he said. He said they're all the same to Christ. They're all the same to Christ. But what a wondrous truth this is, that when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that regardless of whether you were Jew or Greek, you're now one. That's what we're going to read to you. I want you to see what he said. A fascinating passage of Scripture. And it's all revolving around peace. He said, for he is our peace. So he starts the whole formula by giving them the answer. It's a bit in reverse on how we do it, right? We ask the question, and then we challenge you to think through the solution. Not on this one. The Apostle Paul comes right out and says, let me give you the answer. Now, here's the formula. Let me tell you how he became our peace. Verse number 14. For he is our peace. Next, who hath made both one. Who's he referring to? He's referring to the Jew and the Gentile, right? If you're going to categorize this world, here's the categorization. You're either Jew or you're Gentile. Right? If you're not Jewish, you fall in the other box. But what he's saying is that he hath made both of these one. He, our peace, hath made both of these one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Was there a partition? Is there a partition right now today between the Jew and the Gentile? Yes. There is a partition. It's the law of Moses and all of those things held in the Mosaic law and the Jewish religion. These things clearly put a wall up between everybody who is and everybody who is not. And yet what Paul is saying is that Jesus Christ hath broken down the middle wall between us. Now the Jew has no more right to Christ than the Gentile. And those who were sometime a part of the Gentile have as much opportunity to come to Jesus Christ as anybody in the... I want you to know today that peace is available. You can have peace today. Because Jesus hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What once separated men from God, Jesus has dealt with. He has dealt with it. How so? Let me read on. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity is the contention, the strife.
The very thing that created division between you and God, Jesus dealt with and made it possible for you who were sometimes afar off from God, not even having any understanding of God, He hath made it possible for you to come to know the peace of God. Verse number 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments, contained in ordinances for to make in Himself of two, one new man, so making peace. Now, if you'll let me tonight, I'm going to preach on blessed are the peacemakers. But being a peacemaker has no relevance unless you understand who made peace to begin with. Where does peace come from? You're no more able to bring peace into the life of another human or to be peaceable to another human unless you actually know who peace is. You cannot be something that you've not experienced yourself. And we call for and we long for and we seek for and we pay for and we search for all of these things that might bring us peace, when all the while what Jesus did was to become our peace. He made peace by offering His flesh as the sacrifice for my sin. Take the whole problem of Jew versus Gentile and bring it down to you versus God. There was a middle wall between you and God. There was something that separated you from God. Right? The law of Moses was there. And what the law was is not a ladder in which I could climb to God. The law was a mirror by which when I looked at it, I saw myself and seen that I couldn't keep, that I couldn't fulfill it, that one day I would, but the other day I wouldn't, and that there were always things that I was failing and coming short, and I could never be what had to be in order to be reconciled back unto God. And yet what Jesus, who is our peace, hath made peace for me by abolishing the enmity between me and God. Let me stop and say hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to His name.
Amen. Thank you.
Because what separated me from God, Jesus Christ dealt with in His flesh.
Yeah.
The very wall that separated me. We have a figure, a picture of this wall, do we not? We have a picture of this wall in the Jewish temple. Right? It was the veil, that wall that separated the Holy of Holies, the place where God was. There was a separation between God and man, and God never moved that. It was there as an emblem, as a foreshadow, that what separated man from God truly was real. There was a separation. There was a need for reconciliation between little man and our God, and that wall had to be torn down. And Jesus, the Bible said, when He cried from the cross, "It is finished." As the earth began to shake, it says the veil was rent in twain. It means it was torn down. Now you can bet your buttons it was sewed back together the next day. But it did not change the fact that by suffering and dying in my place, Jesus Christ dealt with the enmity that kept me from God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He dealt with what kept me from God. That's where peace comes from.
Yeah.
He said my sins were washed away.
Amen.
That through the blood of Jesus Christ, He had dealt with what condemned me forever, dealt with what held me in bondage, dealt with death, conquered it. He offered unto God the Father his own blood for me. For me. I love how the Apostle Paul said it. He said, having abolished. That's past tense. If you're not very good at grammar, let me spell it out for you. That is a past tense. That is a statement saying what he did is done.
Yeah.
Having abolished the enmity. Thank you, Jesus. What separated me from God, Jesus dealt with at Calvary. Made it possible.
Amen.
That the very thing that separated me from God, it was dealt with through the blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It made it possible for he who is our peace to grant peace, to make peace in my own heart.
Amen.
A heart that is naturally full of hostility. Yeah. A heart that is naturally bent toward division. A heart that is naturally only concerned of itself. Jesus hath made both men one. By tearing down the middle wall of partition between us, the Jew and the Greek. They're saved Jews. Messianic Jews, I think they call them. They're saved Jews. They're people who have come to the knowledge of Christ the same way that you come to it. They knew the history of it. They understood Jehovah from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Not that book, but yeah. The Torah, their own, right? They had the Septuagint in the Old Testament. They had all that from the prophets. They had the prophecy. They had all of this. And yet, even being so near to God, they were so far away. And what they knew about God had built a wall between them and the heathen. Gentile, who there was no question about. They were far away.
Yeah.
But what God said was, make no difference. I heard a guy give an example about this, which thrilled my soul to listen to it. He said it's as if he had an interview with two different people. He said, let me introduce you to the first one. His name is Nicodemus. Nicodemus shows up, he has an interview with him, and he says, hey, he said, I heard you talk to Jesus. Yeah. God talked to him. He said, I went to him one night. He said, well, would you consider yourself close to God? Oh, yeah, yeah. I've known about God all my life. Would you consider yourself very learned of God? And oh, yeah. He said, I've studied the scriptures most of my life. And yet, why did you go to Jesus? He said, well, there was something I needed to know. There was just something I realized I was missing. And when I got to Jesus, I found out. He said, I'll tell you all about it. And he said, but I found out that it was altogether different than what. He said, all this while I thought I was close to God, and yet I knew somehow I didn't have a relationship with God. And when I spoke to Jesus, I found out the only way to have a relationship with God was through God. And then he said, let me introduce you to another lady. She had five husbands and was living with a lover, and she just far as away as you could get from God. Brings her in and said, oh, I hear you had a pretty questionable lifestyle. Oh, yeah, I had five men and husbands. And now the one I was living with at the time I met Jesus, he wasn't my husband. And goes into this. So, would you consider yourself close to God? No, not in no way. I had no idea who he was, actually. And yet one day I met Jesus at the well. And he informed me of all of these things. And I found out that if I would just believe in Christ, that I could be his.
Amen.
Here you had one that was close and one that was far away, and yet through Christ they become one. The same. And the same ultimately is saved. You had one that knew the scripture front to back, knew every jot and tittle, and you had one that didn't even know there was such a thing as scripture. And you know what the Apostle Paul was writing to them heathens in Ephesus? He's saying, hey, he said, God hath abolished the enmity that was between us. He's abolished the very thing that separated us from God. He said, and in doing this, he hath made peace. He's made us peace. making peace through his suffering, through his sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our peace, made our peace by becoming the sacrifice for you and I. I've got to ask this question. If you don't know that you've truly been born again, then friend, there's no promise of peace upon you. If you've not been saved, there's no peace that I can offer you except to know Christ as your own. Right? And this is not some superficial knowing. Right? You could ask Nicodemus about that superficial knowing of God. It no more got him close to God than the woman who was at the well, who was living in all kinds of sin. Nicodemus was no closer to God, did you? Yet what he said is that Christ is our peace. And he's abolished the enmity between us. He's torn down the middle wall of partition. He has made for you and I, made peace for us. Do you have peace? Right, somebody here right now is struggling with something. You're struggling with somebody. You're struggling with a relationship or a situation or a circumstance in your life. And and you cannot sleep. You can't rest. You can't think because your mind is constantly in turmoil because you have no peace. Let me be clear. Jesus is our peace.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have any other solution for you today. But I can absolutely guarantee you, positively promise you, that you take this medicine, it will cure you. There's some people need some peace, don't they? They're tortured. Because they don't have any peace. There's times, Sam, surely, if they could just experience a little bit of what he's given me, they'd cast their poor soul at the Savior's feet. They'd plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Wouldn't they? If they could just feel the peace of God. Jesus said, I give unto you my peace. Not as the world gives. Theirs is but counterfeit. It will not last. I give unto you my peace. And in this world, you will have tribulation. That does not mean you won't have peace. You'll have trouble. You'll have hard times. You'll have difficult things. There'll be things you can't do anything about. But may I say to you today, it does not mean you have to be absent of peace. Number one, he is our peace. Number two, how is he our peace? Well, he explained that. He made peace. Making peace. Verse number 15 and 16. He made peace for you and I. By becoming sacrifice, they completely abolished what separated me from God. And according to Ephesians 2, he had reconciled me to Christ. See, I've been reconciled back to God. Separated by sin, but reconciled now through the death and the dealing with my sin of Calvary by Christ. He had reconciled me back unto God. I say today that you will not find peace in anything else in this world that will satisfy your soul like that simple truth. My sins, where are they? They're gone. One of the old hymns said they're underneath the blood. The Bible says they're cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered by God, no more. Where are my sins? They're gone. And what separated me from God? Sin. He dealt with my sin. You say, preacher, where does your peace come from? Jesus It's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
I have peace today, not because I'm a saint of God. That's a byproduct of what happened to me. Not because I have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ in me. That's all a byproduct of what happened to me. I have peace because Jesus came to live inside of me.
Amen.
And is my Savior. Is He yours? Is He yours? You're fooling yourself today if you think peace will last you if you don't have Christ. Number one, He is our peace. Number two, how do we get that peace? He abolished it. All of the work of Christ at Calvary and His resurrection and all that He did in His propitiation for you and I was to bring peace. He made peace for me. And lastly, this. Verse number 17, I believe it is. And He says, and He came and He preached peace. To who? Jew. Everyone. Because of what Christ did at Calvary, it made the gospel that He would bring applicable not to only the Jew, but to whosoever will. I'm not a Jew, in case you didn't know that. I have no Jewish lineage in my history, except for Adam and Eve, if that counts, or Abraham. Where the hell are they? As far as I know, I'm not Jewish in any way. I say that to say this. That puts me in this Gentile box. It was as far from God as you could get. How in the world am I going to get to God? I don't even have what they had. They didn't know what they had. They couldn't get to God because they were stumbling over the answer that was given to them. But here I am. I don't even know who He is. I'm a Gentile, alienated from the truth. When somebody comes into my town and starts preaching, and the Holy Spirit opens up my ears and I hear this truth.
Yeah.
And a bunch of women in Philippi down by the river heard the apostle preaching it. And they got saved. When they got saved, they brought it to their families and they got saved. When they got saved, it got bigger. Before you know it, old Paul and Silas are in a Philippian jail getting beat for preaching it. And next thing you know, God shakes the jail, opens it up, and saves the jailer.
Amen.
There's a bunch of misfits that had no right to God, no way to God. Jesus is our peace. Jesus hath abolished the enmity between us. And He's forever torn down the middle wall of partition between us. And He's made peace for whosoever will. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. What matters is that you believe in the peace of God, which is Jesus Christ. Preach. You see, what the Bible says, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. Does that not marvel you that God would let a man handle it? Terrifies me, but it's a wonder. That God would get a human of all things to declare His word. According to the scripture, it pleased God. The foolishness of this preaching to save. See, when it said to him, we'll take this as insignificant, right? Many of you, when you heard me read that, didn't even register its fact. It said He came and preached. That's all I'm trying to do right now for your tortured heart and mind. your troubled spirit, for the hostility and division that abides within you naturally from birth. I'm simply trying to preach to you the simplicity of peace. It's what they believe, it's what we believe. It's the same gospel. He is our peace. Don't lose sight. Let's go down to verse. I'm just going to read this verse to you, but I want you to see the effect of it. Verse number 18. It said, let me read verse number 17 so you remember where I'm from. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, speaking of the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, speaking of the Jews. Jesus came and preached peace to both the Gentile and the Jew. Verse number 18. For through him, who? Jesus. For through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit,
amen,
capital S, unto the Father. Verse number 18, what did I just read to you? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit hath ordained that peace is available to you. And let me make this point. If they agree, you can count on the offer.
Right.
You can have peace.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse number 18, read it. Sun quit shining before that one's not true. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have came and preached to you the offer of Christ's peace. It's the only thing that will help you tonight is Jesus. He is our peace. He has made peace possible by making peace through his own death and resurrection, his substitutionary death for you and I. Jesus has made peace for you. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? I came and preached it. I woke up this morning with every intent to preach that. Blessed are the peacemakers. The third part of the Godhead wore me out. Before I got here, Brenda, what I realized is that you need the offer first. You need to know. You have this peace. You can't be a peacemaker. No more than I can be an auto maker. You can't be a peacemaker because you don't have peace. It was fruitless to preach tonight if you didn't get what was given this morning. You better have peace in you. Be a peacemaker. What about it? What about, listen, this is very urgent for you. Some of you are suffering. Some of you are hurting. And you can't find peace. It's in Jesus. It's just in Jesus. That's where peace is. It's in Jesus. Stand as we sing.